Father, we thank you for the hope that is ours in your Son, Jesus. He brings us peace. He brings us promise. He brings us the reminder of your never-ending love. We rest in that peace, O Lord, as we gather together this day. Hear our praises and receive our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we gather today, we gather because God invites us into his presence. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be filled with hope. And we've been going through this sermon series called Surprised by Hope. We started this on Easter Sunday when the disciples were surprised, the followers of Jesus were surprised by his bursting forth from the tomb. And we've been looking at other elements of surprise that God has in store for his disciples, for his followers throughout all the ages. And we're continuing today to look at the surprises that God has in store for us and the hope that that produces in us as well. And so today I wanted to start off by talking about signs. I'm talking about those signs that you see outside of businesses, maybe road signs, those signs that you see that just bring a little bit of a chuckle. Here's some examples. I'll give you a moment to get them all. I'm a fan of these kinds of signs. They make me laugh. I always like humor, and the humor that's found in these signs. This may not surprise you, but I'm a big proponent of dad jokes. It's not just Joel who likes the dad jokes. I love the dad jokes as well. And a lot of the time, when you look at these signs, you'll see what could be best described as dad jokes. But maybe this isn't the kind of sign that you normally resonate with. I think we all like a good laugh, but we also, there may be some of us among here today that would say, we need to be serious. Let's look at the sign of the times, because of the sign of the times, that's pointing us to something that matters, something that's important. And the sign of the times tells us that the end is near. The end is upon us, even. If that's your way of thinking, that's okay. We'll talk about that today. But some signs of the times currently, an earthquake in New York. That would be a sign of the times, a sign that we're in the end times. What's going on in Israel in the Middle East? That's definitely a sign of the end times that we might find ourselves living in. The solar eclipse, a sign of the times. Living here in Minnesota this winter and getting almost no snow, I think that's a sign of the times, right? The end is upon us. The end is near. Jesus is coming soon. These are some of the signs that matter. These are the important signs that we should be looking for, not the signs that you see on the screen behind me. I want to share with you a Pew Research poll that was conducted in 2022. 39% of Americans say that we are living in the end times. 39%. That's not a bad number, but it's a number that represents this nation, this country, and the belief that time is drawing to a close. 55% of Americans believe that Jesus is coming again, according to this same poll. This is the end times. This is the time that we find ourselves living in. And we may wonder about the other 61% that don't think we're in the end times, or the 45% that don't think Jesus is coming again. Among those numbers, we're remembering that there are a lot of people in this nation that don't believe in Jesus. A lot of people in this nation that believe in other gods and that have strayed from the Lord himself. We see that represented in these polls, but the reality is as well that we see that there is a large percentage of our nation that believes we are finding ourselves in the end times. What does that mean? What about the coming of Jesus? How do we understand that? And what's the benefit to us as well with the second coming of Jesus? Well, there are a lot of different understandings, interpretations of Jesus and his second coming. We'll get into that momentarily. But in a nutshell, what the church has believed for over 1,600 years and preached and practiced and confessed is that Jesus will come again. And when he does, he will raise people from the dead, all people from the dead. They will be judged. And then he will separate the sheep from the goats as he ushers in the new kingdom here on this renewed and restored earth. This is what is going to happen. And this is what's been taught for hundreds and hundreds of years. But in the last 150 years or so, there have been differing viewpoints as it relates to the second coming of Jesus. And that's where these signs have really taken a hold of people. So a couple of different ways, the most common interpretations, there are two of them. The first one is that Jesus' coming is imminent. The signs would indicate that. You look at the signs going on in the world around us, and every war, every natural disaster, everything that is happening in this world, we can plug into God's word and find biblical prophecy that says Jesus is coming again. Now, what happens much of the time is those who are subscribing to this school of thought, what they find themselves focusing on are the signs themselves. And not necessarily what God has called us to do while we are here on this earth. We get caught up by those signs and by the imminent return of Jesus that we miss out on what God has invited us into, what God would have us do. The second, and maybe just as common model or idea, is this simple idea, who cares? Who cares? I know Jesus is coming again, but probably not in my lifetime. He's not coming in my lifetime. And if that's the case, then I'm just going to live my life trusting that Jesus will come again. And when he does, I will be saved. I'll be raised from the dead. I'll be restored. That's what's going to happen. And what you see happening then is in that model, people are resting in the salvation that God has in store for us, but not necessarily living according to the way that God would have us live. We're trusting in his promises, but he also has work for us to do here on this earth, and we're not doing that work because we're resting in those promises. Either way, you look at these different understandings of the second coming of Jesus, and we find ourselves not doing the work that God has in store for us to do. We're not just to watch for the signs. We're not just supposed to sit back and rest in those promises. God also has work for us to do. He wants us to be witnesses of his love, his promises, his grace. He wants us to serve one another, to share with one another, carrying each other's burdens. All of these things that Scripture talks about, this is what God wants us to be and wants us to do. But what we find ourselves thinking about the second coming of Jesus is one of these two things. His coming is imminent, and therefore I'm watching the signs, paying attention. He's going to come any day, or he's not coming in my lifetime. I don't have to worry about that. I'm just going to wait for his promises or trust in his promises and wait for my reward that God has in store for me. That's so often where we find ourselves. But that's not what God's word invites us into. God's word reminds us that Jesus is coming and that we need to be prepared for his coming. So I want to share with you those scriptures that remind us beyond all doubt that Jesus is coming again. 55% of Americans say they believe Jesus is coming again. 45% that don't, they're going to be surprised. God's word is clear in these promises. And so let's take a look at several of these. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 7:29, let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. It's coming to a close, and Jesus will come again. Philippians 4, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And we continue on in James 5, verse 8. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Oh, and in case you missed it, in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John says, dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know the last hour has come. There's an imminence here. We see that Jesus is coming again, and it could come. He could come at any moment. Well, we continue. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to the message and obey what it says, for the time is near. And in verse 22, verse 12, Jesus says, look, I am coming soon. Lots of scriptures that point to the second coming of Jesus. There's no doubt that Jesus is coming again. And that's important that we recognize that, because it can inform how we live our lives as well. If Jesus is coming soon, that means I have a short time. Whenever that time comes, we don't know, but when Jesus comes again, we need to be ready. Not who cares, not apathetic, not saying, well, when he comes, I'll be saved. But we need to be ready, and one of the ways that we're ready is by taking his word and applying it in our lives. It's not being almost obsessive, looking at the signs and comparing the signs and saying, this is the time, this is the day, he's coming. It's saying, God has work for me to do, and I'm going to be busy in his kingdom here on earth. And so we need to be saying, we're ready. In our reading today from 1 Thessalonians, St. Paul gives us an amazing picture of what the second coming of Jesus will look like. And that's important that we recognize that and see that as well. In verses 13 and 14, we heard these words, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. And this is important for us because we all have lost loved ones, and we need to hear these promises, the hope that God gives us in these promises to say, those who have died, who have fallen asleep, they're with the Lord. And that brings me great comfort. That brings me peace. That brings me hope. But now let's take a look at this word, died. And we know what dead means. But the Greek word that's used here literally is translated as fallen asleep, not dead. We've assigned that terminology to it because when we die, we're dead. But in God's eyes, we can look at this and we can say, when we die, we fall asleep in the Lord. We rest in the Lord. And as we're resting in the Lord, those who have died, those who have gone before us are resting in the Lord. They know hope. They know peace. They know the assurance of God's love, his forgiveness, his grace, all of God's promises. This isn't their final resting place. Often when we think about we die, we go to heaven. But what this talks about is when we die, we rest with our Lord Jesus. We rest in his presence. I want to share a picture, if you will. The Greek word that's used for the word is parousia. It often is interpreted as coming again or return. Okay, we use that word parousia in that way, but the literal interpretation of parousia is presence. Now, most often when the word parousia would be used, it would be used in conjunction with the sudden appearance of a god, what they assumed to be a god, Or it would be used in the presence of a king who has come. And fittingly, Jesus fits both of those. Our God and our King is coming again. His presence is made known among the people. There was the presence of the Lord when Jesus walked this earth, but there is also that promise of his return, his parousia, where his presence will be with his people. And that's important for us to remember. Jesus is coming again. He will be present with us. Right now, those who have fallen asleep in the faith are with our Lord. He promises to be with us as well. And so we continue, verses 15 and 16. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. So we look at this, we see these promises, and we recognize that those who have fallen asleep are with the Lord, but when he returns, they will return with him. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? We know that Jesus is coming again, and when he comes to restore this broken creation. He comes to make all things new. And when he comes, he will bring those who have already died and are with him. We have the benefit of seeing this promise. We know that when he comes again, we'll see our loved ones because we also will join with the Lord. We'll see that here in a moment. But he will bring with him those who have died already, those who have fallen asleep, those who are resting with him, those who know the peace of the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this this reading, what I have underlined down at the bottom, commanding shout. He will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. Is this a secret return? Where he's going to rapture the believers? And the answer is no, we don't believe this. The church for 1,600 plus years never believed that this is what that return is going to look like. It's going to be announced. People are going to know that Jesus has come. No rapture, right? Well, let's look at the next verses then. 17 and 18. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the air, clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. So we who are alive will be taken up to be with the Lord? Well, maybe there is a rapture. That's what that sounds like, right? But here's where we need to understand this word, meet. The Greek word is actually a technical word, and it's almost always used for the coming of a king or a dignitary. And what would happen is these kings would be coming to this town or this village, and the people in the village would go out to meet the king before he arrived and usher the king into the village. Our Lord is coming again, and when he does, we will meet him in the air and usher him into this new creation that he is establishing. When Jesus comes again, he will raise everyone. All who have died will be raised to life. All who are living, we all will experience that judgment. We will either be judged righteous or unrighteous. But as followers of Jesus, we have that assurance, that promise, that because of Jesus' death on the cross, our sins have been paid for. The righteousness of Christ rests upon us. We will be judged righteous, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us. And because of what God has done for us, that motivates us, that encourages us, leads us to serve one another, to love one another, to take the rest of God's words and say, what am I supposed to be doing now that I have this promise of salvation? What does God want me to be doing? How am I supposed to live my life so that others might also know the Lord and his promises as well? Jesus talks about this in our reading from John chapter 5. He says, don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. There's that promise once again. The dead will rise. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. So everyone will be raised from the dead. But he doesn't promise that everyone will be saved. Those who believe, those who hear God's promises and say, Jesus is Lord, those who let God's word transform the way that they live their lives, they experience eternal life. Those who continue in their evil ways, they experience that judgment that leads to eternal separation from our God. It's not a surprise. Our Lord is clear. We may have all kinds of questions about what Jesus' second coming will look like. God's word is clear here. When he comes again, that's it. That's judgment. That's his final word on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so we place our trust in the promises God has spoken to us and the peace that is ours as well. And then we live our lives. We live our lives according to God's promises. St. Paul encourages us. He tells us in Romans chapter 12, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. There's our encouragement. Paul doesn't say, sit back, rest in the promises of God. No, it's only a matter of time before he comes back and you will be saved. He says, don't be lazy in serving the Lord. In other words, be active. Serve one another in love and kindness and patience. Share with one another God's love in a way that transforms them as well, that God's Spirit may take root in their hearts, and that they may know God's promises as well, and they may be witnesses just as we are witnesses of what God has done for us. The theologian N.T. Wright encourages us with these words: people who believe that Jesus is already Lord and that he will appear again as judge of the world are called and equipped to think and act quite differently in the world from those who don't. Those who don't know Jesus live their lives in a certain way. We've seen it. A lot of what they do is for maybe a couple of different reasons. Maybe it's a selfishness. They're self-serving. Or maybe there is a selflessness that you see, but it's because it's the right thing to do, but not because of what God has said. But they live their lives in a different way. We, as followers of Jesus, we live in a way that shows God's love and that forgiveness that God has in store for all who have placed their trust in him. This is our hope. And this is where God surprises us yet again with the promise of Jesus' second coming, so that we might know that life eternal waits for us. And as we await his second coming, let's be busy. Let's do the work that the Lord has in store for us, so that others might also benefit from these very same promises. Amen. We pray. Father, we thank you for these words that you have shared with us, and once again for the hope that is ours in Jesus. We recognize that we don't always understand the scriptures, that there are times where we have different understandings, different interpretations, different ways to to make sense of what you have shared with us, but what's clear in these words today is Jesus is coming again, and he's got work for us to do before he arrives. So help us to rest in his promises. Help us to be witnesses of those promises as we serve one another. Thank you, Lord, for your never-ending love for us. Guide us and lead us that we may do the work that you have in store for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
2, 3, 4.